Hey, you are now listening to the Graceway Podcast. Let's talk.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk. My name is Jeff Adams, and I'm here with Pastor Todd Gentleman that delivered the message at Graceway this morning. Todd, good to see you, and welcome. And
Thank you.
We're going to have fun, man. This is great. We haven't done this for a while.
Yeah.
But I do need to explain to our audience, if you saw the message this this morning already, perhaps you picked up on the information that Pastor Tim Dunn's wife, Miss Ashley, had a rather serious automobile accident on Friday. Let me emphasize from the very get-go, she is going to be fine. She's beat up and bruised, as you can imagine, but nothing life-threatening or anything of that nature. And so we're very grateful for that. And my purpose in sharing that is not as much to give details about what happened, which we really don't have a lot, but simply to introduce Pastor Todd, who about 36 hours before you were to speak, found out that this was going to happen. You got the call from Pastor Tim.
Yeah.
And obviously he's where he needs to be with his wife. We all are agreed about that.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for a good team that can step in and do the job. But what I'm curious about, and I think what some of our viewers and listeners would be curious about, Pastor Todd, what goes through a pastor's mind when you get that call very quickly before something happens? And in a larger church, there's so much other stuff going on.
Right.
And you guys are both exceptional communicators.
And I
just love being a part of this church still and hearing you guys talk. You're kind of the number two go-to guy when Pastor Tim is not here. But here's the deal. Your style is radically different from his. And I love them both.
Yeah.
They're both great. But how do you adjust? Tell me what's going on in your mind.
Yeah, so when these situations happen, where there's an emergency or you're called last second to fill in for somebody.
Somebody gets sick.
Yep. Yeah. And typically what happens is whatever they were planning on doing, you scrap it, you bring something you're familiar with, and you do that.
Yeah.
But we're in a very specific season at Graceway,
yep.
Advent. And because there are so many teams and so many different aspects to what happens here, a lot of the work was already done by our tech team. The slides were loaded, everything was there. And so it's kind of like, well, hurry up real quick and figure out this sermon specifically. And Pastor Tim, you know, very graciously sent me his notes. But if you read Pastor Tim's notes, they make sense to him.
Yes.
You know, because
yes.
he wrote them and the dots are all connected in his brain. And so as I read them, what I don't want to do while he's with Miss Ashley is call him every 5 minutes and say, so what'd you mean?
Right.
So what's this?
Yeah.
So what you realize is that I'm going to take this idea and I have a dozen or so hours to figure out how I'm going to do it. And so it's kind of a nice challenge. I think for me, it's a little bit of like just like a video game kind of like, how do I get in here? How do I, you know, figure out where all the pieces are?
Right.
And it kind of becomes like the Matrix where you're seeing these different elements and then you're able to say, okay, God, you know, why does this matter? How can I understand it? You know, Pastor Tim's not going to be here. And so it falls to me to do this. And so there's some nerves.
Yeah.
There's some excitement. But the fact that it's happening so fast doesn't give you much time to think about it.
Yes.
You just got to go and do what, you know, you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the whole style thing might explain to people there's four of us here that form Pastor Tim's teaching team. And so we will often meet ahead of his messages. He's got his notes.
Right.
We walk through them. We make suggestions and all that type of stuff. But there are pastors who script out their sermon.
Right.
And they basically write it out word for word.
Yeah.
Can I say that Pastor Tim is the opposite pole of that?
Yeah, he does not do that.
He does not do that. And that's why to send you his notes, like, well, okay, what does he mean by that? Now, if we're sitting in his office having a cup of coffee, it's easy to understand where he's going.
Yeah.
But he's not there to explain that to us.
Yeah, and you want, and I don't want to be an imposition.
Exactly, obviously.
And, you know, wanting him and his family to feel like there's nothing pressing that we need you at.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, let's just get after it, see what the Lord does.
Yeah.
And, you know, trust God, trust his word, trust his spirit. And, you know, trust that this isn't my first rodeo.
Right.
Which is a blessing.
Yeah.
To have had to figure out situations before. I was joking with Pastor Brandon Estelle that since coming to Graceway, I've preached outside at a campsite with families around me. One Sunday, I was preaching, the power went out.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, I'm like, you know, I feel like this is, you know, I'm getting put through the gamut of what can you do? What can you do?
So exactly.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and it's, you know, pastors are different animals anyway.
Sure.
And some guys have not had the blessing of maybe a lot of preparation or study. And so there are pastors, I don't say this as a criticism, but they actually buy sermon outlines.
Sure.
Or they look them up on the internet. I've written a number of books, and sometimes I hear about people who have preached my books.
Sure.
And that's great, but can I just say that you and I and Pastor Tim, we don't operate that way.
No.
We are all influenced by the thoughts of others.
Sure.
The famous evangelist D.L. Moody used to say that all my flowers are taken from somebody else's garden.
Right.
But yet we don't operate by saying what somebody else is going to say.
No.
So I'm blown away this morning, okay, as a guy who loves the art of communication, and I know that you've not had any time to really react.
Right.
Other than on adrenaline and the Spirit of God and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And the experience that you have. Was you come in and you start off this morning talking about transformers.
Right.
And so immediately I'm like, where is he going with this? share with us. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, so I was laughing with Pastor Brandon because I said, okay, so 36 hours to figure this out.
Transformers is in the toy.
The toy, yeah.
On the poles.
Right, yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah.
And not only was there a quick turnaround of the sermon, but it's also a family service. So there's a couple hundred kids
that are not normally there.
That are not normally in there, that are distracting their parents, they want to get up and play. And so I'm like, all right, we got to. It's not just writing a sermon, it's also creating something that's going to be somewhat interactive for the people that are there to keep a short attention spans locked in. And so as I read, you know, the text about the Magi, the wise men, the things that Herod was saying, the reality of who Jesus was, the phrase came to me, more than meets the eye. Like the Magi, who are they? We aren't really completely positive.
Right. But there's more than meets the eye.
There's more than meets the eye. Herod is lying about wanting to worship Jesus, but really wants to kill him. So there's more there that God reveals in a dream to the wise men, right?
Right.
So they can't see it. It's revealed to them. It's more than meets their eye. And then obviously the person of Jesus is, he's a baby. He's a child here. But that's not all he is.
Yeah.
And so that thought was just, it was struck to me that transformers, they drive around the earth unnoticed, seemingly normal, but completely supernatural.
Yeah.
And so I think we walk into this story that looks like a fairly normal antiquity story.
Yeah.
But there's a supernatural element that makes it more than just what we see.
And you mentioned you were, as a child of the 80s, you grew up with Transformers.
Yeah.
And that was really the kind of the theme of the whole thing.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting there and I go, wow. Because that's such a deep thought.
Mm.
And I would never have picked up on that from looking at the cartoon.
Sure.
But once you said that and you had set up the Transformer, my mind begins to work and follow about Herod's statements, about the Magi, about Jesus himself, much more. And then you said, and you made the application that God is doing more in our life than we can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got any examples of something like that from your own life?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the biggest, most recent thing was our move here to Kansas City. You know, I kind of joked that we had never considered moving to Kansas City. It was never a place we thought to live.
Mm-hmm.
And long before we ever got to the decision to move here, there were lots of things happening in our life that were beginning to like at least cause us to wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time in my life, I had opportunities outside of the church that I was presently at. You know, I was a church planner, so you don't get opportunities, you make them.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden there's multiple places reaching out to me around potential ministry. And I was like, well, you know, saying no at every turn. And I had a friend that was like, don't just say no, like maybe God's doing something. And I was like, you know, okay. So I began to just ask God, well, can you help me get in a position to hear you?
Yeah.
Because I think that once I became aware that God may actually be doing something more than just the physical, it made me realize maybe I should listen different with spiritual ears. And so, yeah, moving here was a big thing. And then once we arrived in Kansas City, God has provided space for, you know, emotional and spiritual healing that I didn't know needed to happen. There have been relationships formed that have been, you know, just a huge blessing to me and my family. And it wasn't just moving houses. It wasn't just
taking a different position.
It wasn't any of that. Those were all elements to something that God was doing under the surface and is still doing. And I think once you realize that, like, there's more happening than what you see with your eye.
Yeah.
If you view it correctly, there's an excitement.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, because if your circumstances are not great, then you can get excited about, God, what are you going to do with this?
Mm.
Because I know your word says that you work all things for the good of those who love you according to your purpose. So like, how are you going to take this thing that's not great in my eyes and actually make it beneficial for me? So there's an excitement that comes with, God, you're doing more than I can see.
Yeah.
So help me just, and there's a peace that comes with it. It's just like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you and see if you won't be faithful in this. So yeah, that's what I think.
More that meets the eye.
Yeah.
So this morning you shared with us three lessons from the Magi, the wise men.
Sure.
And as you pointed out, we don't know whether there were three or 30.
We
just know there were three gifts.
Right.
Because there's more than meets the eye.
Right.
But yet you shared three lessons, and one of them was the fact that love requires study.
Yeah.
And another thought that you gave that I thought was very fascinating, and I totally agree with that, these wise men were looking at the heavens.
Yes.
And when something appeared that wasn't normally there, they noticed it.
Yes.
That guys like you and me, blinded by the lights of the city, would never even see.
Right.
And so kind of work that for me a little bit. Maybe there's some practical hints of, as people go through life or go through scriptures, how can we be more attuned to the things that we don't normally look at?
Yeah, I think that the phrase that came to my mind when I read this was, they saw the miracle because they were watching in the mundane.
Mm.
That was like the phrase that kept coming back to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about the idea of love and relationships, you know, so much about our relationships is mundane.
Mm-hmm.
But when relationships fail is when you stop paying attention in those moments.
Wow.
And so it's like, we want miracles in our relationships. We want deep connection, right? We want intimacy. We want someone to know us so well, to see all our faults and still choose us. Like, what all these different things. We want to be fully known and fully loved. We want these things. But we ignore the mundane realities of the relationship, just being with people, spending time. There's no shortcut to friendship. And so I just was struck with that idea. It was like, man, we want miracles in our life, but we won't be faithful in the mundane.
Yeah.
So I think of that in a lot of ways. I think of it for business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's everyone wants a breakthrough financially, but they're not doing the things that bring that about in the everyday.
Right.
And then when you apply it to our faith, you know, we want a deep, like, abiding relationship with God. We want to hear from Him. But we don't spend any time with Him in the mundane.
Exactly.
You know, so I just think that everyone wants a miracle, but nobody wants the mundane. And that's most of life.
Yeah.
Most of life is the mundane. So the lesson of love from the Magi's, they were watching. They knew it was different because they've been there the night before.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was a powerful thought because of what you say. We don't pay attention to the mundane. Mm-hmm. And when you were saying that, the thought that came to my mind was Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. Mm. And when we read the book of Exodus, we see the highlight reel.
Yes.
But what we don't see is that, what, manna again?
Yes.
You know, and probably most of the days during those 40 years were pretty mundane.
Yeah.
And seeing the same landscape and eating the same thing for their meal.
Yeah.
And they had to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, inspirationally, like, for people who need some kind of breakthrough in their life, you know, the reality is that you only, in faith or in life, like, you only lose if you quit.
Mm.
Like, if you just continue to endure, like, you stop getting healthy when you stop working out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are certain realities. It's like, if you just don't quit,
yeah,
God can do some amazing things in your life.
Yeah.
If you just hold on.
Yeah.
But it's going to look not exciting most days.
Yeah, most days, exactly.
You know, and because when the excitement comes, when the blessing comes, when the breakthrough comes, if you haven't been doing the daily thing, you're not even ready to receive it.
Yeah.
And or if you do get it, you're going to blow it because you build the character in the mundane.
Yeah.
You know, so, if we're not watching in the mundane, we're going to miss the miracle.
That's such a powerful point. One of the other things that you said is that love is not a sentiment. It's not an emotion. And you illustrated that by the fact that the Magi acted. They had to act upon what they saw. And then one of the pastors came up at the end of the service, and he used the phrase action steps and kind of listed that off. Talk to me a little bit about you. I think you mentioned you got some family coming in for Christmas, and sometimes this period of the year can get very crazy.
Right.
So what are some practical tips on what can we actually do to act upon the love feelings of Christmas, knowing that love is really an action, not a feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot, you know, there's lots of things depending on your situation. You know, depending on what your family situation is, maybe you have lots of family that are close, maybe they're far away. Maybe your family looks more like close friends. You don't have a lot of, you know, close family by you. There are really practical action steps you can take to show your love for people. It could be as simple as knowing what somebody enjoys and then doing that for them. My grandmother, my uncle's favorite cookie is a snickerdoodle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he lives out of town, but you can always guarantee when my uncle comes in town, there's going to be boxes of snickerdoodles waiting for him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that just shows that I know you.
Yeah.
I love you.
I'm paying attention. Yeah.
And there's lots of those moments.
Yeah.
If you're looking, again, like in the mundane, like what?
I was just going to say that connects back to what you just said.
So I think it's, you know, who are the people in your life this season?
Mm-hmm.
What are a few simple things that you know about them? And how can you step into that and show them that you are, you said that's great, paying attention.
Yeah.
Right, they're just, I'm paying attention. And whether it's a kid, a spouse, a friend, a roommate, whatever, there's lots of those moments. And even if you don't hit it square on the head, right? Like, the attempt expresses the love.
Yeah, exactly.
The attempt to, like, show appreciation, the attempt to show that you're noticing and paying attention, those kind of things matter.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
The last thing that you said that true love requires sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave us some great examples of that from the text, from the life of the Magi. I'm interested in your thoughts on this whole theme of sacrifice, because sometimes at this time of year, we've been through Giving Tuesday or whatever it is, and all the nonprofits are, you know, requesting donations. And so we talk about, like, well, would you sacrifice a Starbucks each week in order to give to?
Right.
And you know my background, you know, I've been a lot of different places in the world, and I'm like, sacrifice a Starbucks. I'm not sure that I would connect those two words.
Sure.
Let me show you what sacrifice is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Pastor Todd, about that, and what true sacrifice is? And maybe there are ways at Christmas time to think about sacrifice more than just monetary or material, maybe some emotional and spiritual sacrifices. What could you share with us?
Well, you know, the example that we're given of sacrifice in the scriptures, I mean, both through the ministry of Jesus and also through God's word, is to laying your life down for someone else.
Yeah.
So I think you have to consider what that means for your situation. What does it mean for me to lay my life down? You know, a lot of times in the West, it's easy to write a check. It's easy to because money is an idol for us. So releasing money is helpful to the person that receives it, and it's beneficial to us. So that's not without merit.
Right, right.
But I think that there's a much deeper application to what it means to lay your life down.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as like a parent putting their phone down.
Mm.
Like for a lot of people, they live their life on a screen.
Yeah.
So what does it look for me to like lay that down?
Yeah, guilty.
Right? And like the things that we put our life on, putting those things down to place it in where it really needs to be focused at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think very few of us, in the West especially, at least in this millennia maybe, is like laying our life down for the sake of Christ, like may not be a reality.
Yeah.
But we have to consider what that means.
Yeah.
To lay our life down. So, okay, God, what are some ways that I can literally and figuratively lay my life down, give my time away?
Yeah.
Because a cup of coffee.
Laying down my dreams, my desires.
And submitting those to God and seeing, you know, how can God influence these things? It's not that dreams and desires are wrong.
Sure.
But when they're just for you, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our blessing as not just Christians, but people. It's amazing how God has done this, that he has hidden our blessings behind serving others.
Yeah.
Like it's always behind helping somebody.
Yeah.
Is where like a true blessing falls. So it's kind of like, okay, and to serve somebody, you have to lay your life down.
Yeah.
So, okay, God, who's around me?
Yeah.
And how can I serve them? I think that's a great place to start practically.
I love that phrase of he hides the blessing behind our sacrifice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both know that Christmas season is a time of increased depression and suicide because I think people go into the season with many unrealistic, unfulfilled expectations and desires. And it truly can be a sacrifice to say, this is what I had hoped that Christmas would be like, but this is what I need to do. I need to lay that down for the cause of this or somebody or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Fantastic. Well, Pastor Todd, it has been great to connect with you again, man. We don't get the opportunity to do this very often.
You got to stay in the country.
I know. Well, that's true. Next time, we'll not let an automobile accident be the occasion of that.
Yes.
But prayers for Pastor Tim and Miss Ashley. And again, I just emphasize our word that we have received today is that she's back home. She's doing great. It's just going to be a few weeks to kind of heal up and get the sores and bruises and all of that type of stuff. So I know that Pastor Tim and his whole family would appreciate your prayers and all of that at this Christmas season. And this is the last one of these Let's Talk Before Christmas. So from both of us, y'all have a Merry Christmas, and we'll look to connect with you in the new year.
Thanks for tuning into the Graceway Experience. Hope we can talk again sometime.